This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Here comes Christmas for me.
Oh. We love America!
This level of foolishness
is so great.
Damn it.
Damn it.
A little bit of Monica in
wow.
My life.
People are gonna die.
Yeah, baby.
In Jesus' name, amen.
La 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 la.
There he is, finally.
Finally. Lyle.
It's been too long. Welcome to good Christmas fun. I'm Kevin T. Porter. The T stands for tinsel.
I'm Christmas Caroline.
And we're going to have good Christmas fun, good
Yay!
Christian fun. It's the first of the season, even though technically this comes out in November, but it's post-TG. It's post-Thanksgiving, so I think it still counts.
Really? This
yeah.
comes out on a Wednesday? It's still November next Wednesday?
It's still November next Wednesday. The 1st of December isn't until freaking Friday.
That's disrespectful that we're having Thanksgiving this week and then it's still November next week.
It's giving disrespect?
It is giving disrespect.
Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the music, and the movies. And the entertainment made for and made by Christians. We're not here to make fun of you, make you go to church. We're just here to have fun. That last clip, of course, was Shawn Mendes as Lyle Crocodile.
Mr. Camila Cabello.
Does he have Christian vibes? Do you get the sense from him and his presence that he's been to church, that he's susceptible to church?
He also seems like the perfect Mormon, no? He's so tall. He's so classically American looking.
I'm trying to think.
And he loves to sing.
But isn't his hair too long to be a Mormon?
He's a rock star Mormon.
Yeah, okay. He's like the guy I knew in my high school named Zach. Zach was the coolest Mormon.
Oh,
who
yeah.
was so nice and so handsome.
And had long hair.
And everyone in high school liked him. No, that's the thing. So maybe I'm just basing on this and my experience with Zach.
Yeah, it's how closely does someone align to Zach?
Yeah. And that's
how Mormon they are.
Yeah, that's right. Like, wait, that's not like Zach. I don't think they're Mormon.
Zach wouldn't do that. They probably seem like a bad Mormon to me.
It's the first episode of the season. We're recording this a little bit in advance. We're recording this pre-TG. But already, this really got me in the mood for Christmas, just to be clear.
Yes.
Got me in the mood for Christmas. We're talking about the album, The Music of Christmas by Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Real mood setter.
I mean, that's kind of his deal.
It is kind of his thing.
Have you ever heard of like a thermostat performance in a movie where it's like they're not in it for most of the movie and then they come in and they change the temperature of the whole thing?
No, I haven't
heard
that.
Like jack it up, you know, like McConaughey.
Like when Shawn Mendes comes on in Lyle.
Yeah, that's right. And it's just like, did it just get hotter in here? That's kind of Steven's role in CCM as he comes in and he jacks it up. We're here to talk about this album. An album we've briefly discussed a part of in the past. Do you remember this?
No.
Okay, great. Well, I can't wait to remind you. But first, we're going to need a little help from a very special guest. Friends and folks, coming back on the podcast after a 3-year ban, she's an author, a priest. You can catch her on Substack or her new updated memoir, Dangerous Territory. Give it up for Amy Peterson! one of our rare multiple guest appearances. She's been on multiple times, but the rare one.
It's so good to be back.
Welcome back.
One of the rare people that it's only ever been remote.
That's right.
This is time number 3.
Is that right?
I think technically. Yeah. Like that. That's
why we're working on a live performance in Asheville coming up.
Oh, we're going to your side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You're coming to the East Coast.
Yeah.
That'd be sick. Well, Amy, I don't know if you know this, but I've spent quite a bit of time on the East Coast in my day.
Yeah. He's almost, yeah, people are almost like, oh, Kevin, the guy from the East?
I don't know where he's from anymore. It could be the East. It could be the West.
Man of the world.
So maybe
I don't think this is true.
No, he does go to New York City like every 2 days.
Yeah, every 2 days I'm in New
Stops
York.
Stops around really? His little boots.
Well, I need to. This is germane to our discussion today.
Okay, sure.
I'm going as of this recording. When this comes out, I will be. Well, who gives a shit? I'm gonna be there in a few days when this episode.
Are
comes
you joking?
Out. Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, I'm not. I told you about this like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
I'm going for a concert at Carnegie Hall.
Oh, yes. Oh, this is huge.
The concert,
you did tell me this.
Amy, is it's a double bill.
Two friends.
I found out today.
Who are friends forever?
Oh, yeah. They're friends who are friends forever. It is Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant at Carnegie Hall. I found
out
today. Did
anyone personally invite you?
No, absolutely not.
Hey, Kevin, would love to see your little face out there.
Your little half shaggy and mutant face.
Here comes Christmas for me.
Here comes Kevin for me.
Yeah.
I was hoping I'd be able to like intro the concert by saying that, and everyone in the crowd goes, "Here comes Christmas for me."
You should reach out and ask if they need an MC.
I want to be very clear.
Mocked them often.
I have to imagine the moment we logged off of our interview with her 2 years ago, Amy said, please never let that happen to me again. To whoever was on her team.
She doesn't remember
a second
of that. She
was like, we're not that desperate yet.
Yeah, like, am I doing that poorly that I have to do this?
Can we get a podcast with reach? My God.
No, you know who is the opener for real? Michael Tate. He's their opener.
Oh, that's right. Wow.
Again, just imagining.
I had a grand slam. Bases are loaded with these three.
The Holy Trinity. Just imagining Michael Tate in New York City. It's sort of hard to imagine.
Is he the one who is stumping for Trump in 2016?
Stumping and trumping.
That's right.
Hopefully he'll get back at it again when he needs him the most next year. and don't we have that to look forward to as well? It'll be interesting to see what the evangelical move is in 2024. Mm-hmm. Like,
who's really loyal?
All right, let's saddle up again.
Shonda Pierce.
Saddle up your horses.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe. Yeah. SCC, though, Stephen Squirt is.
I think he stays out of it.
He does.
He does. Did Smitty ever stump for Trump?
He did one of those,
Bush.
Like.
He played at like a America rally or something.
Oh, he did.
He did like one of those freedom rallies America at the height rally. Of COVID in 2020.
Yeah.
But Trump wasn't there. It was just a related patriotic.
It was just a
uncomfortably patriotic event.
Okay. I don't believe there's any footage of them together. I don't believe there's any like imagery.
Well, that's because I'm smart, Kevin. Smitty, PR wise.
Have you checked the dark web?
I haven't yet.
Did he scrub it?
you imagine like Smitty's on like MAGA Reddit saying no, but he's got good ideas. He's a businessman, is the thing.
Great shooter.
Gracious. Well, Amy, thanks for joining us on the show once again.
Welcome back.
Hey, it's been too long.
A lot has changed.
And, you know, I heard you were talking about me and my daughter on the show, and that's how this all got started.
That's true.
How are we talking about your daughter?
That's true. Well, I told you this, Caroline, on the podcast, because I follow Amy on Instagram, and she posted a brief clip of her and her daughter at a Boy Genius show singing along to Graceland 2.
Oh, yeah.
And I got immediately choked up, and I was like, something's happened to me in the last couple years. This didn't used to be the case, and now this is a not uncommon occurrence. And I thought about that when I went to Boy Genius.
You've got the heart of a father of daughters.
What is it that you want me to put in dating profiles? Like, I'm a dad looking to have children. I'm like a childless father.
Good. That's a good
line. Yeah. No boy or girl dad.
Yeah. No, I hope when you were alerted to that, that you were being discussed, not in our presence, that it wasn't truly positive. Alarming. Yeah. That it was.
I was not alarmed. I think after I posted that video clip, you had responded to me on Instagram. Yes. So we had already talked about it.
Oh, okay.
But then we were just at church and this guy came up to me and he was like, "Hey, did you know that Kevin was talking about you on Good Christian Fun?"
Oh my gosh.
And I was so like, funny. "No." Like, I had spoken to one time before, you know. So it was fun.
And you hadn't heard it because you just hadn't listened to it yet. You listen every episode and you
every
just
episode
hadn't
religiously
gotten to that one.
I just was behind.
I knew it.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, Amy, you are in leadership at your church right now. And what I'm hearing is whatever you say here may come back to you through your congregation, or at least that one guy.
Whoa.
Why did you have to remind me of that,
Carol? Caroline.
Stakes are huge. I love it. What is a hot button issue we can talk about today?
Yeah. What are the ethics of this? Is this like listening to your teacher outside of school? Do a podcast? I mean, surely that must happen now. Mm. Or like your therapist or something?
This guy doesn't actually go to my church. He was just at a Bible study at my church.
Okay.
So I'm not sure that any of my actual congregants are listening.
Let's keep it that way. If you're a congregant, go ahead and turn this off now.
Just go ahead
and
turn this off.
Let Amy live
right now.
For one goddamn
Give
hour
Give her
a
some
week.
Privacy for Pete's sake.
On the other hand, now that I am ordained, I wasn't ordained the last two times I was on here with y'all. Now that I am ordained, I do expect you to clean up your fucking language.
Okay? Oh my God. I'm so sorry. Oh
yeah,
no.
Thank you.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So what
Will
do we...
Do.
How do we and I
tighten it up?
I do feel
do
quite a
answer
difference
to?
From the last time we talked to
are
you.
Are the cops going to come? I'm scared.
Hello, police.
Congratulations on your ordination. That's so exciting.
Hey,
do you want to catch us up on what happened in the last 3 years since we last talked on this journey?
Yeah, in the last 3 years, I became a priest in the Episcopal Church, graduated from Duke Divinity School. Flip those in order. Graduated from Duke Divinity School, became a priest in the Episcopal Church, took a job in Asheville, and now I am the associate rector at Trinity Episcopal Church in Asheville, North Carolina. Woo-hoo. And every week I, study ancient texts and then say some magic words over bread and wine and then feed a bunch of people the body and blood of Christ.
Amazing.
Okay, so I know what a director is. What's a rector?
Basically the same thing.
Did they
a
drop
the rector's like
duh?
The big boss of the church, and I'm the associate rector, so I'm the second in command.
Okay.
You know,
I don't know why they dropped
movie terms,
I don't
Kevin.
Know what the difference is?
Maybe the DP
director.
You know?
I say
director.
Is it just cleaner? Like, yeah,
it's just cleaner that way.
I've heard the term, but I legitimately did not know the definition of it.
There are so many words in the Episcopal tradition that I still don't really understand.
I only had heard of it because
they just have language for everything.
Yeah, of like British literature of the Jane Austen variety. A lot of rectors in there.
Like, oh, the rector's not going to like this one.
That's right.
Things like that.
Amy, is it, I mean, this is such a journey. It's so much work to get to this place. How has it been kind of what you thought it would be? Or maybe how has it surprised you a little bit?
You know, this was like a total out of left field thing for me. I did not expect to do this at all in my life. And so like never even thought about it until 2018, 5 years ago. And it takes that long in the Episcopal Church. Yeah. It usually takes longer than 5 years to get ordained in the Episcopal Church. I have loved it so much. And it's both like I love the work that I do. I love the place where I live. And also I think something about turning 40, really, it does feel like a portal into like, I really don't give a shit about a lot of things anymore. Mm-hmm. And I am doing what I want to do. So it's pretty great.
So 40 is liberating. I can look forward to that.
Oh man. Okay. Yeah. So good.
Because 30 felt a little bit liberating, But 40, I was a little unsure of. When I recently had a birthday and my dad texted me, and his birthday message is, "Wow, you're 16 years away from being 50. I was like, that's not helpful. I don't like that.
That's close.
Thanks, Dad.
That's not what I wanted to hear. But you're saying 40 kind of unlocks something for you.
Yeah, I love it. 40s are great. 40s are powerful.
Yeah, what feels powerful about it? It truly is just like disassociating with like courting other people's opinion in the same way.
I don't know. And I do wonder if it's like a male-female thing. Because my husband turned 40 and the next day threw out his back and was in bed for 2 days.
You said it like he did it on purpose. Like, like as a response. Listen. Like, fine, I'll throw out my back.
I mean, and last week he was diagnosed with arthritis in his hip. So for men it's rougher. I don't know. Feels like we're definitely too young for arthritis.
A little creaky.
But
man, okay. So like in the last 3 years, last time you were on, we talked about Kateman's Call. That band. Do you have any memory of this, Caroline?
Oh yeah. I think I remember.
Got
being
you guys
like,
in lots of trouble, I'm sure.
I don't think we got in trouble per se, but I do remember
canceled.
It was like height of 2020 pandemic. I'm like fondling myself right now because I'm looking for my phone trying to find. It was August 2020, and we talked about their album, 40 Acres.
Wow.
But yeah, over 3 years ago. And of course, we first touched base with you on Second Service, I want to say back in 2018 as well, talking about the missionary myth. Yep.
It was.
It was on, wait a minute, it was literally on 420 2018.
Cool.
It was April 20th. Nice. How about that? And you've updated your memoir recently. And put out a new
one. So kind of you to bring that up.
Yeah, let's get to the plugs.
Tell us about it. I loved your memoir, by the way.
I did not come on this podcast just to plug my own material. I wanted to see your smiling faces again.
Yay.
Uh-huh.
Hey, we're subscribed to the Substack. We get it. It's a numbers game.
It's all a numbers game. Yeah, my original publisher for my memoir decided not to continue printing it. They made that decision after my second book came out, in which I was pretty vocally anti-Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decided maybe that wasn't a good look for their brand, so they stopped printing my first book.
Were they ever explicit about that, about the rationale? Or is it just putting two to do?
They were fairly explicit. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Which is fine, you know. People got to do what they got to do. So then I was thinking I would just republish it independently on Kindle, but an independent publisher reached out to me and said they would like to republish it. So I added a new afterword, updated a few minor things, and recorded an audiobook, which we didn't have the first time around.
Whoa.
So I'm really excited about that. The audiobook will be out in like 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh, fantastic.
But congrats. The new edition of the book came out a couple weeks ago.
The audiobook recording process, I want to ask about this. Is it maddening? Like, it feels like something. I've known a few people who work almost exclusively in the audiobook space, but most of them aren't doing their own stuff, and especially something like a memoir, which is so personal, obviously. Is it just taking and retaking stuff over and over again?
Yes, until I got into the swing, and then I would find a rhythm and I could go for most of the rest of the chapter without needing to stop and retake. But usually at the beginning of a recording session, it was a lot of retaking, and it was a surprisingly emotional experience because that book is about things that happened to me 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I wrote the book 10 years ago or started writing it 10 years ago. And I've read it since then, and I had read chapters aloud when I was in the process, but to read the whole thing aloud in the space of 3 days, it was just like really drops you back in. Can you imagine being dropped back into like your most emotional, volatile, dark night of the soul?
Totally.
Time.
And just at that straight time and the story straight through, which is usually not how you probably tell the story. You tell like parts of it or pieces depending on the context, but to like really almost like therapist level go through like minute by minute or day by day of what had happened, you know, is that's extremely intense.
It was. I also loved doing it. I guess I love the sound of my own voice a little bit too much.
Oh yeah. No, that's
why do you think we do this?
That's
for
a
5
true
years.
Superpower. If you can close the gap between that thing that so many people go through, which is I think I sound like this, and then you hear a recording and you feel like I don't sound like that at all. What the hell? Yeah, if you can close right. that gap, it's so powerful to
yeah,
feel
when
like.
You listen get to that right voices. Moment, you feel like you're actually in your own voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me a lot of what Carrie went through in Just Like That when she had to read her memoir. And I don't know if you watched that.
I actually thought about that scene while I was recording my memoir.
When she's picking up the seashells on the beach yep. and brought it back. Yeah.
I thought about her in that recording studio in her stilettos. And I was in my closet in my bare feet. And yeah.
Lots of parallels.
I forget mm-hmm. the format name, Caroline, that we used to do where we read our old journals. You remember this from
yeah.
years and years ago?
I call it Now and Then or something
now and
like
then.
That. Mm-hmm.
But I remember
did
the.
Did you steal that from Alyssa or did she steal it from you?
You know, let's check the timestamps yeah. on that because truly I think she uh-huh. I think she started making the TikToks after because obviously we did have her on.
I think so. I mean, obviously we can't trick. Take credit for her brilliant
oh, man,
young
if you
mind.
You prepped me for that. I could have brought some.
You could have found a journal.
We should then.
Oh,
we'll
shit.
Bring you back for a second
yeah, we'll
service.
Do that.
Kevin yeah. can deal.
Kevin can wait. But I don't think I ever told you this, Caroline. But the first time we did it, like it was at your place. The line of demarcation now. There's like two phases of the podcast where we used to record at Caroline 2017 through 2020. And we've recorded in my place post-pandemic, basically, almost exclusively. And I remember it being at your place. And I remember coming home from the first time we did it. And it was a funny episode, but yeah. I remember crying myself
yeah,
to sleep.
You did tell me this.
I did tell
yeah,
you this.
Yeah, yeah.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
For some reason. Yeah. So I can't imagine doing that for a full freaking memoir.
Yeah. Yeah. It was brutal. I woke up every morning absolutely buzzing with anxiety.
Oh man.
Was there any and I wonder if there was any like temptation throughout that process to kind of rewrite slightly or to like, well, I know this is what's written, but does it have to be word perfect, especially because it's being updated, etc.?
Well, I had already made a few small changes, but I will tell you two changes that I made in the process of recording. And one of them was I realized when I was recording, you notice repetitions when you're recording an audiobook in a way that you don't when you're writing. And one of the repetitions I noticed was that I used the word skinny a bunch of times.
Oh my gosh.
And I felt really uncomfortable about it. Yeah. So I wrote to my editor and we took out the word skinny was on page one of chapter one.
Whoa.
We took that out. Yeah.
And replaced it with snatched.
A snatched
you know, it's not too
milk
late. I could go back.
Yeah, I feel like also verbally saying it out loud, it does like, yeah, makes it feel different.
It does. It just kind of catches
you a little. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing I changed was just that there was a part where I had talked about slaves. And I changed it to enslaved peoples. That was really mm-hmm. the only like PC change that I made. But no, there wasn't so much temptation to rewrite things as I was reading it aloud. It was just like illuminating. Like I saw myself more clearly.
Yeah.
It was pleasant.
Yeah. And at a 20-year mark and a 10-year mark from who you were even to.
Mm-hmm.
And then now yeah. you've got this other book that will mark this other time in your life. And like, wow, how fascinating. The rest of us yeah. have journals where we're just like praying.
That
like
no one
sweatily.
Ever reads.
Yeah.
That's smart. Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
But still, it's not exactly the same thing, but having something like even audio, Caroline, of you and I from 6 years yeah. ago is mortifying.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm never going back.
Have you gone back and listened to the first episodes?
The plan right now is to, at some point next year, this came up in a recent episode, the plan mm-hmm. is to listen to episode one and do an audio commentary on it.
Oh, my gosh.
And then make that an yeah. annual occurrence where we keep layering audio commentaries for as many more years as the show. Because it might have the similar effect if you had to record your audiobook again one decade from now as well.
Wow.
And see what words
that
you're
objecting. Record a commentary on top of my audiobook 10 years.
It's never been done before. You could be a trailblazer in the field.
Yeah, just like you. It's very meta.
I'd listen to it, certainly.
Well, me too. I'm here for it.
Well, yeah. I want to talk to you more about Christmas stuff, but first I think we need to take a quick break. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to dive into the topic, but instead of the usual drop we play, I'm going to play something we haven't listened to yet, but Amy sent us. Here we go.
You better not shout, better not scream, because Santa God's coming today. Ho, ho, today, snow time, Christmas, and shout. Everybody shout, hooray, because Santa Claus coming every gift. Just coming today.
Okay, so
perfect.
I would say
I just wanted you to hear my favorite Christmas song to start off.
Now to me, the vocal was good. Like, I love the raw production quality of that. There were some moments I found to be a little pitchy.
Yeah, for me, it's an immediate roast. You know, when you just don't have it, you can't make it happen. You know.
So you're saying she's not going to make it.
So as long
as it's been some time, I don't know. Maybe she's worked on her pitch issues at this point.
Gladys rocked. I mean, Caroline, you could be this person's Colonel Tom Parker.
Oh my gosh, I'm ready.
Found the angle for it.
Hand me a cigar.
She was only three. She was only three at
okay,
the time.
Well, then
and
I
was
will.
An original.
This is 11 years
original
ago.
Original composition.
It is original, kind that. Of.
I know we were just talking about how I'm not supposed to assume that other people will think my kids are cute. But that was undeniable. Come on.
I wasn't saying undeniable? That to you. I was saying, no, I was repeating that off my brother's maxim of rule number one parenting is don't assume people think your kids are as cute as you do. Mm-hmm. That was, of course, GladysRock.bandcamp.com.
Oh, Kevin. Blowing it up.
And you can donate whatever you think is fair To buy the digital track to send as a gift.
Name your price.
You can buy the full digital album.
Oh, there's an album.
All right.
There's. Okay.
Like, all right.
Wait a minute.
Don't send links. You don't want to see.
You can get Going Sledding With You, Rudolph Aww. The Reindeer, Every Christmas, parentheses, You Send Me a Card.
So cute.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Amy, this is a Nepo baby we're talking about.
It's basically Maya Hawk.
This is your Nepo baby.
This baby has connections baby. In the industry.
Oh, we're going to be talking about this baby a lot.
Well, look about it. She's already gotten a
this
leg
baby
up
is
on a
Jesus.
Podcast.
This yeah. baby is Jesus.
Okay. It must be spoken about.
It's time.
The music of Christmas. The first of three Christmas albums from our old pal, Skeet and Squirt is Fat Man, Stephen Curtis Chapman, our little hobbit man.
Only three.
Of CCM Rock. I know, the restraint for...
Holding back.
One of the,
for
you know...
For an actual elf.
He sees the Will Ferrell movie, he's like, representation. And of course, it is called, I keep having to look it up, The Music of Christmas. I just want to keep saying, The Christmas of Music.
The Music of Christmas. He said,
yeah, well,
this
the original
is what I called
songs
it.
On this album, the original songs on this album are filled with lyrics just that good.
True.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. It is. Well, let's zoom out. Let's take a step back because we've never had you on for a whole Good Christmas Fun.
That's true.
Episode. I want to know what you're looking for each year when it comes to Christmas music, what it was when you were a kid, what it is now in your adult life. You know, aside from getting in the studio with your little Jackson 5 of a family, what you're
I thought you were going to say your little Jackson Maine.
Your little Jackson Maine.
I guess Allie.
I just turned dark.
Yeah, I hope none of your kids turn out like Jackson Maine.
Well, talented.
Well, yeah, you got to weigh the pros and cons.
Legacy.
But in general, what it is, I just spit on the screen. Oh, that's so nasty. In general, what it is you're looking for with Christmas music?
Well, nostalgia, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for nostalgia, which is mostly Amy Grant.
Yes. The music of your youth.
I feel like I'm Amy Grant in that sweater leaning against the fence with the snowy hill behind me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to feel like
God
when I'm
damn,
listening to Christmas
that's
music.
That's exactly right.
Tennessee Christmas. Yeah. See, now it feels like we could even create a dichotomy of like there was Tennessee Christmas people and then there was the, oh gosh, what was the second one she did? Her second
Rocking
of her,
Around the Christmas Tree.
The quadrilogy.
The second album started with.
Yeah, the one where she's in the in the red suit.
Like
Santa
red velvet.
Suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wore a Santa suit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. True. Oh, yeah, she kind of did.
Truly upsetting that I don't know this album off the top of my head.
Amy Grant Christmas. Is that what it's called?
No.
Oh.
I think this must be.
That would be really funny. And here's my album,
it's
Amy
Home
Grant
for
Christmas.
Christmas.
Home for Christmas.
Home for Christmas.
Home for Christmas.
Home for Christmas.
Okay, ho,
which
ho,
is
ho.
Also the title of one of the songs on Stephen Curtis Chapman's album.
Hey, that's right.
Yeah. How about that?
Interesting.
You don't see them collabing a lot. Do you think she's like
yeah.
a one man woman when it comes to that? Like Michael got his claws in on her.
Yeah, or Smitty said like, if you ever want to work with me again, don't you dare call that little elf up. I swear to God.
Drop
maybe
the
they're
zero.
Rivals.
Get with the W.
Yeah.
She started recording like 5 years before he did. I think it was just too much of a gap.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
He was like the young pup.
So growing up in your household, it was Amy Grant. It was perhaps this album.
It was this album. It's a little bit of, we had this a cappella album. Oh, man, I wish I could remember the name of this one. But it had a song about how Daddy would get home first to build a fire because he's the only one who had that special touch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's truly one of the lyrics.
That's truly one of the lyrics.
A cappella, too.
So I think about that one. We listen to like some classic, lots of Bing Crosby, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah, salty Christmas for sure.
Oh, no.
Salty Christmas.
The song.
Salty is Christmas Calamity.
And to be clear, yeah.
Have we covered this?
No, of course not.
Okay. You haven't covered Salty's Christmas Calamity.
No, we sure haven't.
Why? There's like 24 tracks on there.
There's 24 tracks.
Oh,
it's
no.
38 minutes long.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Mostly dialogue. Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, you're going to love 7-second tracks like Dusty Pages.
Some of my pages must be dustier than I thought.
And you know what happens is then they wash the pages, but they shrink.
Oh.
Wow.
They shrink in the wash, and then they can't sing their Christmas songs, and Christmas is ruined.
And it does get into sort of classics like Fix It, Christmas classics like Christmas is a Time to Love. We Three Kings, Fast is what it's called. Fast. Okay. Okay. Oh, shit. Salty Shampoo, and of course, Jingle Bells Medley.
Home for Christmas.
Meaning of Christmas. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know,
what a hodgepodge here.
A chestnut we can save for next year.
Actually, Christmas is a Time to Love is a really good song.
Oh, that's
someone
sincere.
Someone should cover it.
Is that Charity Church Mouse singing that?
No, Charity Church Mouse. I can do a whole Charity Church Mouse spiel, but she's not in this one.
Okay. There wasn't enough room for another.
Wait, what's your spiel?
I don't think she shows up at Christmas time.
Are you anti-charity?
Well, hello, Charity. Hello, hello. Indeed, I've heard about you, Charity Church Mouse. Yes, indeed. Your fame has preceded you. I'm Risky Rat from Mousetrap Records.
Oh.
Did you say Mousetrap? No, my dear. Mouse Tail. That's Mouse Tail. Read my lips. Yeah, I could go on.
She's Risky. Going into a warg-like state. Her eyes are rolling back into her head. Holy moly.
She grew ears.
If only my brother were here, we could do the two parts together, you know.
But I can't do it alone. You need your whole Velma Kelly act.
We recently watched the one where they're chasing them on the train, the movie.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember this movie, Amy? Where
this is a salty movie?
This is a salty movie where Salty's mostly animatronic. He's not like the painted blue weirdo like Ernie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And Risky is a little queer-coded in the movie. Oh. And
makeup looks tragic. Well, Amy turned out okay, so I'm assuming she didn't watch that as a child.
I didn't watch that as a child.
One.
No.
That's a good call.
But then, a donut man, though.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Does Donut Man have a whole, like, Bing Crosby, like, him and his donut doing duets to each other? A very Donut Man. Christmas just for kids. Songs that teach, songs that praise.
There we go.
By Donut Man.
Why shouldn't Donut Man get cash for Christmas?
Gentle Mary, Humble Mary is one of the songs on here.
Okay.
For those who thought Mary too proud in songs past. Wow. Again, something to maybe dig into.
If you think Mary is sweet and submissive and docile, please go read the Magnificat again. That's all I have to say.
Hell yeah.
Wait, what is it saying there? Wait, she doesn't like push back at all, does she?
She's like, God, I praise you that you're throwing the rich off of their thrones and raising up the poor. And it's actually extremely subversive. Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay.
Total reversal of the hierarchies.
So Stephen decided not to sing about that. He decided.
Stephen did not. He's sung about some blonde haired boys with big dreams.
He. and just please recap for us like where Steven sits for you in the sort of CCM lexicon.
Are you like trying to figure out how much you can critique him without offending me?
No, I'm not concerned about
no,
that.
No, you're not worried about offending me.
I mean, you heard how I just talked about your daughter at 3, yeah. So I won't be holding back.
She roasted
Jackson
her. She called your daughter Jackson
pitchy,
Maine.
A pitchy Jackson Maine is what you called her.
Yeah.
I met Stephen Curtis Chapman in 1988 before y'all were born.
Whoa.
What was the context for this?
His second album had come out. My dad was the general manager of a Christian radio station in San Antonio. And he invited Stephen Curtis Chapman to come do a concert. SCC didn't even have a band. He played with backing tracks.
No way.
That's surprising because he seems like he could do like solo acoustic stuff himself.
You would think. I don't know what it was in 1988.
He likes a big sound.
And he had a very real mullet. Mm-hmm. And we went out to eat fajitas. I was 7 years
old. With him?
Uh-huh, yeah.
You had sizzling fajitas with Steven?
And sure I hate to put you on the
in
spot.
In his prime?
Drop the order. What was he getting for the table? Was it guac? Was it queso?
Yeah, I'll tell you what it wasn't was Margs. Okay. No Margs from Stephen Curtis.
The straight lace.
Yeah. Sober night with the radio family.
A positive experience, though. It sounds like it was a good interaction.
Yeah, sweet memory. Sweet memory for me. I did have a period in around 7th grade where I woke up every morning listening to This Is the Great Adventure, mm-hmm. because I really wanted my life to be a great adventure.
Yeah. You set it as like your alarm clock, you mean?
Yeah.
Or hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
I set the tone for the day.
Caroline, have you ever set a song as an alarm for you?
Yeah, I have.
What song?
I think for a while I had You Don't Know Me. Ben Folds, Regina Spektor.
You don't know me at all. You don't know me. That one?
Yeah. It was nice. All it did was just ruin that song for me for a long time.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
But yeah.
I had a...
In college, I listened to Strawberry Fields Forever every morning.
Ooh.
That's a nice... So that is a gentle rise.
It's a good way to wake up.
That feels good.
Very cool.
What did you have, Kevin?
Coffee Cranking Through My Cyst by Chelsea Peretti. And then there was another song called Death to My Hometown by a little man from New Jersey named Bruce Springsteen. From the heartland of America.
That's right.
But this album, it is sort of a standard fare, a standard offering of what you'd expect from a CCM artist. They got the chestnuts. They got the greatest hits. And maybe their own little take on them as well as their own. And the question is always and remains in 2023 for anyone putting out a Christmas album. Can I get a song into the canon? Can I get one that people will actually sing? And Christian-wise, for at least for Christian music, I feel like the most recent entries into the all-time Christmas canon were Breath of Heaven by Amy Grant, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and then Mary, Did You Know? And then maybe the most recent for like secular music was Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays by NSYNC, which I think was the year 2000. So that would have been like 23 years ago. Now, Stephen tries.
When did the Mariah Carey song come out?
That was, I want to say 93, 94. Perhaps.
Oh, is that old? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're coming up on that. And we admire, we love, we respect the pivot that she's made in the last 6 years where it's like, this is all
Mariah
I am.
Season.
This is it.
Is this the best thing about me? Okay. Well, here we go.
I walked by Victoria's Secret the other day and they had a campaign poster with Mariah on it. In a sequin dress, just being like, it's Mariah's season at Victoria's Secret. I was like, okay, sure.
I mean, and it makes you wonder why more artists don't try to align themselves with a holiday more.
Yeah.
I guess most country artists do with like the 4th of July or something.
Oh,
or Memorial Day or whatever. But yeah, Stephen has a few. He has a
shared in 9/11 too.
Yeah, shared.
He aligns with 9/11.
Amy Caroline thinks that Cher wrote the song "Believe" in response to the 9/11 tragedy. A song that came out.
I think I did hear you guys talking about this on a previous episode. So yeah,
you can never tell. With persuaded. This one.
It's persuasive. Okay.
Stephen tries his hand a handful of times.
He tries. I don't think any of these really, the original songs have not made it into the canon. No.
The music of Christmas. Christmas is all in the heart. God is with us. This baby going home for Christmas and Precious Promise. These mm-hmm. are the top to bottom original
his attempts.
Songs. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, going home for Christmas is about death.
Yeah. So, do we want to speak to this a little bit?
I didn't think that was.
Yeah, this was going to chart.
So kind of part of the reason I was asking Amy about your own personal taste when it comes to what you're looking for with Christmas music is I was getting at, even when you were a young child or even now in your adult life, were you ever looking for a song about your grandma dying as far as Christmas music goes.
I mean, maybe if my grandma had died around Christmas time, I would have been.
So this song,
you
going
want a song for that,
going on for Christmas, it feels fairly standard, like country music fare, where it's
country
like
music. It's telling a story.
It's,
yeah,
it's just storytelling, and it's about adult themes of death and transcendence and etc. But going home for it's one of those things. One of those songwriter 101 things of like, you have to construct your song around a central metaphor. Like whatever the title of the song is or whatever the chorus is getting at is a central metaphor of everything you're talking about. And for this one, it is the double entendre of what going home for Christmas means, which is you travel, you book flights, you get plane tickets to go see your family.
Gather with the fam.
Or if you're elderly, you are going to your eternal kingdom in heaven. For Christmas.
Yep.
And you announce to your family over and over again, you won't see me. I'll be gone. I'll be dead.
I'll be gone.
I'll be with Jesus. I'll be dead. You won't see me. I mean, she was like predicting the death. The thing that really
it just hits a little too hard now.
It's a little hard.
It was fine when I was a kid, but now I am the priest at a church where I had two funerals this weekend and another death. Like, and it's Christmas time. So
did they call
it
ahead of time too? I mean, that's the
thing.
They
said, I'm going home for Christmas.
So neither of them saying this.
Thanksgiving, I guess. I don't know. Rest in peace.
If I remember, and if I'm of cognizant mind, and Caroline, I hope we know each other when this happens, I will play this song in my twilight years. And I'll do it for like 10
You'll play
years.
It every year.
I'll do it 10 to 15 years in a row. Of like, I don't know, this could
keep
be
living.
Wait, I want to find the chorus real quick. She told everyone I'll miss you, but I'll be leaving soon. I'm going home. Imagine me holding up the Bluetooth speaker at the kitchen table.
They're like, okay,
everyone's
you out.
Just kind of looking down at their feet, like, okay,
like
grandpa.
He already does this, he always does this. The thing that is so crazy about grandma predicting her demise for everybody is the fact that we find out later in the song, grandpa's still around.
Yeah.
Grandpa's got to go meet the fam and kind of do all that with tears in his eyes.
He's carrying on her legacy.
Tears in his eyes. Yep.
Like, damn. It's hard enough to tell your sweet young loved ones, but then to your spouse be like, you're going to do it alone this year. It's on you, babe. Like, deal with it. It's so crazy. Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, we don't know. None of us have lived to be this old yet. I guess they don't specify how old she is other than she's a grandma. She could be a young grandma.
She could be a young
grandma's out there. Mm. Yeah. But maybe when the three of us are at that stage of life and that maturity, we'll talk like that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this is it. Maybe there'll be a new candor or something.
Or maybe she was just planning on doing like a really hardcore motorcycle ride that weekend.
It was her covering
she's
her
choosing time and place.
She was doing parkour in Dubai.
She wasn't
or something.
Ill. No. She just knew how she wanted to go.
Grandma's Formula One racing this week. I'm going home for Christmas.
This is it.
You do respect that. Man, I do.
I told you what it's like turning 40, but just wait until you turn 80.
We don't know.
Just 35 years from now, Kevin. Don't know.
Hey, that's not what I need right now. No, no, it's not 30. It's 25, 26 years from now.
There.
Oh,
you'll be 80?
You won't be 80.
Oh, 80. I'm sorry. No, you're right. Okay. I thought you said 70.
Yeah.
Okay.
Might be. So there's that. There's also you get... I don't know if for anyone else you felt like this, but he does do a cover of Angels We Have Heard on High that felt like Toto's Africa.
Ooh, I can hear that.
Y'all hear it?
Yeah. There we go.
And he judges it up in his little elfish ways.
Giving it
in style. Rivendell with all the other guys. Etc.
Nice.
But for you, Amy, were there any, like, because this is such a, we were talking about maybe music we could talk about on the show. Was there any songs that felt like home runs for you or that you very closely associate with the holiday?
You know, I re-listened to this album yesterday, of course, in preparation, and thought, none of these songs are really very good. It's a pretty boring album. Why do I want to listen to it every year? And yet I do want to listen to it every year. Yeah.
Right.
I like his, I think one thing that is kind of impressive is at least these new arrangements to classic hymns. I think he wrote the arrangements.
Yes, it would appear he's not taking them out of someone else's.
No one else
playbook.
Is credited, and that's something. I like his "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," and I think that's a really hard one to improve on.
Yeah, he puts it in a major key and kind of like fancies up the chords in a way that I did think was musically interesting. He's not boring musically, like even as vanilla Wonder Bread, vanilla bean he can be,
blonde.
As two little blonde boys would say, I guess we had to talk about that song. Like there's,
we'll get to that song.
He's not the most musically adventurous, but he's not without interest.
He's got flourish.
He's sure.
There's some real moments of beauty.
Christmas in the Heart is the number one most streamed song from this album.
A million streams.
Yeah. And there is a music video. Boys. Did either of you happen to peep the music video?
No, I didn't.
It's basically, you know, illustrating what the song is. And he's got just the floopiest, you know, 30-something, 40-something hair. And he's singing this while playing his guitar. Why are you? Hey.
She's pointing at his hair.
She's pointing at my hair.
30-something.
Yeah. This is an audio medium, Caroline.
She's pointing at my hair after I said floopy. I was about to say just like this sexually provocative performance.
Oh, right. It's kind of raw.
Oozing, you know.
Dangerous.
That's kind of the Skeet and Scores Fat Man promise. This song.
This is a song that's like,
yeah, talk
can
about
you
it.
Believe some people are poor on Christmas? I sure can. You know what else I can believe? Some people are rich, like my little boys.
Two little blonde-haired boys with big dreams tried to sleep, but sleep wouldn't come. We'd be tearing into presents long before the break of dawn. It's a class warfare song.
It is.
In a lot of
well,
ways.
Well, he's decided there's no warfare. They just like
there
exist
is no warfare.
Separately, and it's not a
Christmas
problem.
Christmas is all in the heart, so, you know.
It is sort of like a
so it doesn't matter if you're poor and I'm rich, because Christmas is in the heart.
We're both getting Christmas, if you think about it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Stephen does so many Operation Christmas Child boxes every year to
sure
make
he
up
does,
for
actually. Yeah.
But it's just so funny that this song is just like, let me point out how poor this family is and how rich my family is.
Oh, yeah.
And ain't that something? And not like, I don't know, let's help them.
The opening couplet is in a one-bedroom apartment on the humble side of town. There stands a little tree. Looks a lot like Charlie Brown's. Just the peanuts catching strays from SCC. looks like Charlie Brown. And yeah, saying Christmas is in the heart, it is such a funny rhetorical, it's like rhetorical bailout language in a way, where it's like, hey, why are we so divided? At the end of the day, Christmas
we
is in the heart.
We both had an awesome Christmas.
Yeah.
It kind
color
of feels
blind,
like that.
Class
color
blind, class blind,
yes.
Christmas is in the heart.
Hey, we're all just people here.
Christmas
right?
doesn't people? Discriminate.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
As an entity, I guess. Christmas is just a thing that happens too. It's not like a person. It's not a movement. It's just a vibe, you know. And you
Christmas,
have it, or
not
you don't.
Even a theological message.
No. There's no.
But it's in the heart. That's where the feeling starts, and like a fire inside, it touches every part.
It's just there. It's not a call to action. Yeah, it's not a prompting to give. It
just burns you up.
It happens. And if you're around, you have it.
He does try to wrap it up, and he can't even wrap this under the tree, but it's in the love heaven gave that night our Savior came, and that same love can still be found wherever you are. So there are these sort of platitudinal concessions to, you know, it's not about the presents. Have you ever heard someone talk about Christmas and say, it's actually not about presents? I am looking for someone to say.
That's wild.
It is about presents.
That's crazy. That's
it's crazy actually talk. Just kind of a prelude to Black Friday. It's kind of an excuse for having it. And Caroline, so we do need to. It must be spoken about. It cannot be ignored. And for the songwriting credits, you were talking about the credits before, Amy. This is co-written. It's a co-write. It's because this part is the, you know, traditional hymn written by William C. Dix is truly his name.
Okay.
And then it's William C. Dix. Will C. Dix. It's like
so that's why we have to talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. And we can move on.
And then it's this song. I think we should play a snippet for the listener.
Well, he cried when he was hungry. Did all the things that babies do.
He shit his pants
on his mother's lap. And he wiggled and giggled and cooed.
He had those weird pimples on his face when he was born. For a while.
And the tears when he got his first teeth. Almost everything about this little baby seemed as natural as it could be.
This big natural baby. Very poppy, the poppiest thing on the album. For sure.
Like no
da, 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 da. Yeah. He had blonde hair too, just like my sons. So, Caroline, 5 years ago.
Beautiful blonde baby Jesus. I'm sorry, 5 years ago.
Half a decade ago on the show, we talked about this song. We talked about this song with Lisa Gilroy.
Oh, okay.
It was like, it was Hunt for the Worst Christmas Song of All Time, or something like that. Mm. And it was this, and then some hateful right-wing song of a similar vein. Or like some new song or Casting Crown song. the line that you said that will always stay with me is like, he had a pretty big bush. You said this 5 years ago.
About the baby?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And that's just there.
What the hell?
On our episode Lisa Gilroy.
This is why I can't go back.
From 2018.
This is a very like Ricky Bobby obsessed with being.
That's exactly what you said 5 years ago.
Yeah, I was like, I probably did say that. Just really getting into the weeds of what a baby it could be like.
From your expertise and perspective, Amy, can you tell us if there's some sort of cultural precedent or phenomena that leads to, I don't know if you would call it a fetishization or an obsession with baby Jesus? And like, even this song, and Mary, did you know, I see connect in a way of like, they didn't even know that this little thing would be God. Like, it's sort of the same premise of like, the twist is that he's God in that it comes from this little thing.
I can't even say that word.
It's hard.
Yeah. I mean, baby Jesus is not threatening. Mm-hmm. Baby Jesus doesn't ask you to do anything, right? So I think that could be part of the obsession with it being baby Jesus.
Yeah.
But there's also something that's pretty like legitimately amazing about it. Like that God chose to come to earth in the form of a totally helpless baby mm-hmm. is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. True. And actually, I mean, the incarnation is kind of my current theological favorite doctrine.
Why is that?
Because I think probably all of us grew up hearing the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. The source of our salvation is God had to kill Jesus, right?
Yeah.
To pay the sacrifice for our sins. And when I was in seminary, I read some like early Christian thinkers like Athanasius who really put and Gregory, they really put the point of salvation at the incarnation, not at the crucifixion or the resurrection. So like salvation actually occurred when God entered human flesh and began redeeming all creation. Mm-hmm. And that's like much more beautiful way to think about it, right? creation had been wounded, damaged, and so God came and actually entered into this wounded, damaged creation, and in doing so began to heal it, a process that started and that will one day be completed for all of creation. That's like an astounding doctrine and mm-hmm. a totally different way of thinking about salvation than like, well, God had to kill Jesus because God is righteous and there was sin.
Yeah, and the sort of poetry of the vulnerability that's even outlined in this
absolutely
very silly song about like,
I mean, yeah.
He was fragile. He shat himself. He had to go through the regular puberty changes.
He got hungry.
What's the second? Yeah, like.
Oh, yeah. He was a boy.
He got taller and some things started changing.
Some things started changing.
Evocative.
The sound of his voice. Yeah, they get into the Adam's apple.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
He had a growth spurt.
Teen Jesus.
And there is something like quite interesting about that in focusing on the humanity of that, the accessibility of that.
And this song makes that point in a way that's not super eloquent or beautiful, but connects with people, I guess.
And when he would, I don't know if you remember this from when you saw him in 1988, but when he would perform this live, he would have a baby, like a, there was a line of backup baby dancers behind him that had like this choreography.
Yeah.
It was like really beautifully choreographed, kind of like the baby from Ally McBeal.
And they would slowly
grow
up.
They were CGI though.
Yeah, it was a CGI baby, just like the one from, they would slowly, yeah, for each verse, they would get a little bit bigger. Uh-huh. There'd be new backup.
Be teens at the end.
They got taller. Some things started changing.
Yeah, there would be like just a whole boy band by the end.
By the end of it, it was One Direction out there with Steven.
It is funny, like we get as far as like the literature of the Bible, like what we have to go off of. You know, we get a lot about the birth. You know, which Jesus is basically completely passive during the entire time. Just a teensy little bit in the middle point, and then a lot about the death and like that last, you know, year or whatever of his life. So I appreciate Stephen, you know, bringing a little bit of imagination to that time, you know, and maybe writing
absolutely
a little apocrypha about what may have happened in the years that we were. It's a bit of a mystery for the
rest
of us.
He wrestled with his dad, and he was never sad.
He was obsessed with beating his dad. Like every young man.
Tickle fight.
Because what's it? The only thing we really have of like non-baby Jesus and non-carpenter 33 years old Jesus is the temple incident.
Temple scene, yeah.
Where he runs off, and then he's like, hey, woman, why are you crying?
Yeah.
And I know woman wasn't actually pejorative in the way he said it in the Bible, but still, it's very funny where he's like, hey, it's all good. He's just vibing. Any other highlights from the album that we want to hit? Anything that struck you, Caroline? Perhaps a precious promise?
Precious promise did strike me. I don't know why all of a sudden this is starting to really bother me, but I don't know why people need to keep calling out that Mary was a virgin. I think that she would be maybe like, can we not?
It's in poor taste.
They don't need to
know. It's true, but give me a break. Not in front of company.
Whether I've been penetrated or not.
You're saying there's like a... Perhaps it contributes to maybe Madonna horror complexes culturally.
No, I just don't want people to think she was a dork, you know?
You're right. Yeah, you don't.
Mary was cool. You know, she was that girl.
It's like if every time they sing about Joseph, they called him a cuck. Joseph was
exactly
a cuck.
It's like, do we need to? We know. Yeah. She's like, highlight it.
Cool.
It's actually a really interesting point. Yeah. I want a song about Joseph.
Joseph's troubles.
Yeah. What? Who would be the greatest CCM? Could Lauren Daigle or someone write something about Joseph kind of being like, should I leave? Like, what's my place in all of this now? I feel a little... Yeah.
The expectations Joseph had to live up to.
Oh, sure.
In the bedroom.
Oh,
That must have been hard for him.
There's a lot.
Someone should write about that.
There is discourse now. Neither of you may be aware because you've been out of the dating game for a while, but there's discourse now about the body count conversation that you might have with the significant other. If you even need to, if it's appropriate, if it's secure, insecure, what you do with that. I imagine the body count convo with Joseph and Mary was loaded in
for
that
sure.
way.
Right.
Where it's like, yeah, it was just one, but he was literally God.
Yeah, so good luck.
Because sometimes you even say, but you don't say who it was. And it's like, well, if I don't know them, then that's not that big a deal. But it's like, it was God. Right. It's like, oh.
And it was like announced yeah. to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, normally you can kind of classily like sort of glaze over like, oh, we don't need to get the
details. Or just compartmentalize your life.
He was fine.
Yeah. Or they live on the other side of town. We're not going to see each other ever. So it's not a big deal.
Right.
But that's, yeah, big part of my
Shepherds
life.
Shepherds weren't showing up talking about it.
There was one other song on this album, a song called Our God Is With Us. This was a collab. This was SCC and MWS. Smitty wrote this song together.
Oh, was it?
Oh, okay. So they aren't rivals.
I mean, only with the woman, perhaps. Only with, with
right.
the prize of Amy.
The ultimate collab.
Yeah, like she's Katniss and one of them's PETA or whatever.
We know which one.
Stephen Curtis Chapman is yeah, definitely right. PETA.
PETA Curtis Chapman. This song, especially chorus-wise... Tell me if I'm cuckoo. And I know this came out the same year. It sounds, or actually the year after. I think it sounds like the Circle of Life. Especially at the chorus, yes. It's coming. Yeah, Caroline's nodding her head, absolutely. Amy's nodding her head, absolutely. Wow. Even tempo-wise and rhythmically, you don't hear it at all. Listeners, please.
I guess a little. There's some movement. Circle of Life was bone dry.
You couldn't see Rafiki, you know, wailing out on this. He's putting the mark on Christ instead.
I appreciate it.
Well, at least that's how it struck me.
You felt the...
It was a good try.
The King of the Jungle on that.
It was a good try.
It was a good try.
Good try, Kevin.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other highlights from this album? Anything we want to discuss about this before we kind of give it our final rating? We were all so moved by it.
Brings up
choked up
big stuff.
I will say I remember this baby so vividly.
You do?
This baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This baby. Na, na, na,
na, na, this baby is kind of, I think, the highlight of the album.
Bleak.
It was played on KSBJ or something.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, you remember that? Good grief. 89.3
My dad was a
FM.
Christian radio station manager in San Antonio.
So KSBJ was Christian. Like... Competition. Oh,
the competition, for sure.
Wow. That was the radio station in Houston where I grew up.
Ah.
KSBJ is the reason.
I like how you said that to Carolyn like she didn't know.
Right. Oh, Houston?
Yeah. That KSBJ is
yeehaw?
The reason it's giving yeehaw, is the reason that there's audio of me and Katy Perry having a sort of Frost Nixon-esque exchange.
Yeah, we've all heard
20
it.
20 years ago. Hey, whoa. Wait a minute. See, this is what happens when these episodes go on too long.
Right.
People start adopting Caroline's characteristics.
Yeah. Okay, Kingwood.
They start molding. Man, Kingwood. Oh, that takes me back. Wow. We should do a live show in Kingwood.
Let's do it.
At my old church. All right. Well, let's give this a final rating. The way this works, Amy, we're going to give it a holy toast or holy roast. Caroline, help me out. It's good Christmas fun.
Right.
What are we toasting with and what are we roasting with this year?
Oh, what's in the glass?
Yeah, like what's the holy toast? Is it a nutmeg latte? Is it a hot chocolate? Is it a hot toddy?
We could do this two ways. You know, we could toast with the nog, with the toddy. I love a toddy. We could also give it a jingle bell or a jingle smell. So think on that.
Jingle bell or jingle smell. Deck the halls or deck my balls.
Dick my balls.
Dick. I'm sorry,
that
Amy.
One I think will be hard. Yeah, Amy, make sure your congregation doesn't check this out.
It's okay. There have only been two dick jokes in this whole episode, which I think is a record
that
low
is a
for
record.
Y'all. So,
if we need to, if we need to, we can change your name when the episode publishes. Like,
Amy Peters.
The problem.
Flamey.
Yeah.
Flamey Peterson.
Flamey Peterson.
Flamey Peterson. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, for now, we'll say a holy toast, and we'll say it, we're toasting with hot toddy.
Yes.
We're sending it to heaven where the angels are toasting it around open fire. Holy roast, we're roasting it like chestnuts in hell.
Yeah.
And that's the Christmas nice, fire. What's that?
It sounds nice, though.
Well, as we learned in Hell Month, hell is good sometimes. So it's up to you to make those kind of judgment calls.
That's true. Okay.
And it's not one thing or the other. It's the space between.
The space between.
The stockings over the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. The stockings. So it's not in the
not
fire.
Not in the fire. It's near.
But it's not
it's
getting
not
toasted
under
either.
Under the tree presence.
That's right.
It's something.
Yeah. It's dangling.
It's kind of small crap.
We've really thought this through.
Stockings. I love stockings, though. It's well, tough for me.
You can't even wrap that under the tree. Caroline, we'll start with you.
I'm gonna pop this album in the stocking, actually, because Amy, as you noted, this is an extremely mid album. It really is. I mean, you know, throughout the listen, I was like, and yet, if I had been a child soaked in the skim milk of Stephen Curtis Chapman's music.
The skim milk.
Through my childhood, I would have been like, I can't wait to, you know, hit the tunes, you know, on this Christmas. So it's not, you know, it's not the worst. It's not great. It's a stocking for me.
Wow. For Caroline, it is Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Nice. Yes.
Okay. We turn it to Amy.
Well, if what I'm looking for in Christmas music is nostalgia, and this was the album playing in my house when I was a child, then I have to raise my hot toddy with some whiskey and ginger and lemon and give it a holy toast.
Yum.
Oh, my gosh.
A little bit of skim milk.
I haven't had a hot toddy in forever.
No skim milk.
Okay.
No skim in that thing.
Oh, they're good.
I got to join. I'm going to be another little stocking stuffer.
Okay.
I will. Yeah.
This is a stuffer.
It's not an unpleasant listening experience.
Not an unpleasant album, but it is definitely mid.
It is sort of a green wallpaper listening to it.
It's some nice background music.
Yes, but it does remain wallpaper. It's not striking enough for me to. But this baby, I will. You know, is this baby enough to get it from over the open
Pop
fire?
To the top. It's to be fair, it's really hard to break ground with Christmas music.
Yeah.
You know, I think most artists are not breaking it out of the stocking.
And I know we go to Stephen Curtis Chapman to break ground. That's what he's here for. He's got a trail to blaze and a ground to break.
He does.
But in this case, he didn't. Amy, did you?
I think he'll be happy hanging out with Dave Matthews.
Did you ever listen to his other two Christmas albums that he came out with?
No. I never did. I stopped listening to Christian music around 1997.
Wow. That's the why that year in particular?
Have that clear cutoff.
I mean, that was when I was 16.
Yeah.
And I had a car and I could listen to whatever I wanted to in the car.
Since you graduated from Lindsay.
You had free will.
I had free will at that point. Yeah.
Exactly the way you put it is how I thought about turning 16 and getting a car was
really?
I can listen to whatever I want and I don't have to ask someone.
Yeah.
And then did you keep listening to Christian music after that, Kevin?
Well, my
90% of the time
I will truthfully, it was like 40% of the time. And then my slow off ramp was movie soundtracks, then Wicked, and then Rent.
Yeah.
This is the second time Wicked's come up in this podcast.
Wickedly.
The wickedly talented Stephen Curtis Chapman. All right. Well, that's one toast and two mids from the GCF podcast.
a respectable rating.
It's a ease into good Christmas fun.
That's
yeah,
right.
It's a great preamble.
You turn up the dial next week.
Yeah.
Oh, we're
save
diving
the hits for next
head
week.
First into.
Don't say you're diving in.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I guess that's appropriate.
You invented that.
But all right, you know what time of the podcast is. It's time to bring things down. And Amy, we're not here to plug ourselves or promote our projects. We're here to lift them up to the Lord, including something we may be enjoying in secular culture. Caroline, Christmas Caroline, we'll start with you.
This Christmas, you can lift me up at Caroline's Farts. I'm going to lift up a Friend of the Pods project this time around. The beautiful, the wonderful Anthony Trolley made a short film called Don't Shoot the Messenger, which you can now finally watch for free online. I believe on YouTube and Vimeo.
You don't have to pay a cover charge anymore.
You don't have to pay charge. And you will get to see the Nathan Ely.
The hottest man in Hollywood.
And surrounding areas. On the screen, he does get a line that he made up and got in there just under the wire. So he says thank you.
Yeah, Laura Dern saw. He says thank you.
He said thank you. So go ahead and support Trolley if you love him. And it's also just a great film. So genuinely a good time.
Don't Shoot the Messenger. A movie I'm not in the credits for. We turn it to Amy. I'm just kidding.
Oh, and I have a little voice acting
Caroline,
part in it.
That,
I forgot
that was
about
my,
that.
That was my... Right. I was like, Caroline does a voiceover.
Oh, yeah.
In
there's
the
like
film.
The tiniest way where they're reading letters and you may hear a familiar voice in a southern accent.
Caroline finally fulfills her destiny and plays a war wife.
Girl back home.
And are you credited, Caroline?
I think so.
She sure... No, you are.
Oh, I am.
Sure.
Okay, yeah, awesome.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
All right. Thank you, Caroline. We turn it to Amy.
Thank you. You can find me at amypeterson.net or subscribe to my Substack, which I think is Amy Pete. I think that's how you find it.
Do you want to lift
you can
up?
Find it on amypeterson.
GladysRock.bandcamp.com.
I already got lifted up. My
books are Dangerous Territory and Where Goodness Still Grows. They're available everywhere, and I would like to lift up. Have you guys talked about the TV show Deadlock?
No.
Okay, so Deadlock is an Australian murder mystery show. It's very funny, very dark, very queer, and perfect for binging this month.
Ooh,
so I'm lifting up Deadlock.
And where can we find Deadlock?
Oh, I think it's streaming on Amazon.
Okay, great. So you want to lift up Amazon is what you're saying. And Mr. Bezos over there.
I really don't.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. And I'll lift up a movie I saw a couple of days ago called May December. Have you heard of this movie, Caroline? December.
With Natalie Portman.
It stars Julianne Moore, Natalie Portman.
It's out?
It's out in select theaters currently. It'll be on Netflix very soon. When I tell you, while I was watching this movie, I was like, movie of the year.
The girls are girling.
10 out of 10. I was being a good, viewer. I wasn't losing my mind, but I was internally hooting and hollering. I was almost like jumping on the chair. Absolutely captivating.
Exciting.
Directed by Todd Haynes, who the girlies will know from Carol, Far From Heaven.
Carol.
And things of that nature. I'm Carol. And
I want to watch it.
Gorgeous movie. Totally took me by surprise. Don't look up anything about it before you see it. Mm-hmm. Just one of those that let it wash over you. Quite fun to watch it with an audience who was laughing along with me. You can lift us up a Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts as a little Christmas gift to us. Every review you leave, we donate a dollar to charity. The Amy Peterson, thank you so much for joining us so late. Past your bedtime there.
It's way past my bedtime, y'all. It's 10:30 on the East Coast.
No.
We appreciate it so much. And there's nothing left to say except for,
okay, I love you, Emma. Amen.
Now watch this drive.
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks, Amy. And we'll go out with the runaway hit from this album, which is...
Smash hit. Energy
hard
boost.
Hard to say what that
this
might be.
This baby. This baby made a new star shine in the sky. This week, we want you to act as if you're this baby. Pretend it's you. Walk in faith and confidence that you're this baby.
Be this baby in your community.
Be the this baby you want to be in the world. Be the this baby that you want to change in the world. And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.